You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour. It has certainly been, an unpredictable episode of TPC. So, you know, we mentioned at the very top of the program tonight in the first hour that Jared Taylor was going to be our guest, but they flew Jared to New Jersey instead of flying him home, and he had to book an alternate flight back down to the D.C. area. And so he's actually in the air during the program. And then Paul Fromm, we did finally get Paul on from Sweden, where he was attending the forum at which Jared was going to speak. During this whole process, though, we put out a tweet about Jared's situation that we're going to be talking about tonight. And a guy I've been following for a while, Angelo John Gage, messaged me. And then we started talking. I said, you know what? It just dawned on me that we've never had him on the show. And I said, well, let's go ahead and fix that right now. This is a guy who's got a huge Twitter following. Good guy. You can find him on YouTube. He's a former U.S. Marine who turned into a metapolitical activist. His main issues are anti-war and anti-supremacy. John, how are you?
How you doing? Good. Yeah, I wanted to make sure Jared got home safely. I don't know if he needed a ride or something from Newark Airport, or I don't know. I'll just be
that's right. Hope he doesn't get a ride by the Sopranos or something.
Yeah, right.
Well, Angelo is actually up in the New York, New Jersey area. So he's going to lend a helping hand, but thankfully he was able to catch a flight. But in any event, well, let's just start there. You had certainly had a pretty sensible take on this whole thing. Would you mind sharing it with the audience?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was in the pro-white activist movement back then, and I still do, you know, support our people, obviously. But I've kind of left the identity realm, you know, but I, again, support everybody. And so that is why I say anti-supremacy, because I think that it covers everything, that, you know, I could be pro-white or whatever and not hate anyone else. And someone else could be whatever they want and not hate me. And we could live together or not live together. So I think no group should rule over another group. That's what I think. In any situation, anytime. And so that's my
take. And every group ought to love their own group.
Correctly, yes. And if you don't want to be part of your own group, then go somewhere else. That's fine. You want to mix with someone, that's your problem. You know, it's your thing. It's your prerogative. So it's all about anti-supremacy. And you know, from what I understand, Jared was going to a conference. And, you know, I don't know him personally. I've seen
correct. Yes, he was just going over there to speak. And anyone who knows Jared knows he's peaceful times 10.
Here's a guy who's not a terrorist. While terrorists come back from Syria fighting for ISIS into England, you know, it's like Europe has gone crazy. I don't know what's going on, but it should be, like I messaged you before, it should be a wake-up call for everybody, because this is a man who's nonviolent, very intelligent, fluent in Japanese and French and all this stuff, and this guy's getting banned from Poland, it was, right? I think it was Poland.
Well, Poland was the, okay, so they initiated the ban that has a reciprocity in 26 other European nations, and so when he landed, they had to abide by Poland's will.
Diktat,
there you go. Again, another part of the problem with the global government.
Okay. Yeah, so he was going to Sweden and then the Polish government.
Okay. Correct.
That's weird.
That's right. They initiated.
And we mentioned this, Angelo, how strange it was that Poland, which is supposed to be friendly to right-wingers, would be initiating this, just like back in that Budapest conference where Richard Spencer was kicked out and jailed and whatnot and all of that. And that was in Hungary, which it has Viktor Orban, who's supposed to be a great hero of ours.
Well, we've heard rumors that they thought Richard was a CIA asset. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know if it's true that they thought that. But anyway, that's what we hear. But anyway, I mean, of course, yeah go.
They're nonviolent people. I'd understand if these were like men who have done evil things and shot people or something, then I'd understand this crazy, like, hysteria. Like, oh, don't let him speak. If it was Brenton Tarrant going around, yeah, you should stop him. We should probably also talk about Fellner as well, which I learned about the other day later on. But, this whole thing with Jared is insane because, again, he's an intellectual, he's nonviolent, he's very intelligent, very well-mannered, by the way. He's not some guy running around screaming racist rhetoric or anything like that. and he's getting banned. So again, that's dangerous to me. And as you said, it's Poland that did it, and all these other countries have to abide by it. Like, the European people have lost their sovereignty totally. They have this Brussels thing going over there, the EU. You know, Brexit wants to leave. They can't even do that. I mean, what's going on with our people? You know, and I realized that, you know, I think it was, I was watching Red Ice, and someone was reading Jared's letter, and he was basically saying, you know, well, our generation is the one that's going to have to save you from yourselves. And it's true, because we're the biggest threat to our own people, not me and you, but
that's right.
Our own cucks, it's not some rabbi in Israel. It's not some Arab in Saudi Arabia. It's our own people who bought into these ideologies that are forcing us to destroy ourselves for political correctness.
So, hey, I got to tell you something, brother. I echo that 1,000 times over. In fact, I have said that on many of my appearances, and I say it regularly on this show, that if anybody is to blame for our current situation, it is white men. White men.
Let me make my comment on that. Basically, you're right. The useful idiots in the white population, white Gentile population, are an indispensable element of the success of liberalism. But in every left-wing movement, the foot soldiers might be black, brown, yellow, women, homosexuals, whatever, but the generals always seem to be Jews.
And that may be true, but what I'm saying is we still are going along with it. Our people at the top are selling out, and that, you know, we had to deal with all of these elements throughout history. It was only in the last 100 years that our people began to, you know, that the pathological altruism of our people were triggered used
exploited.
Yeah, it's exploited. I mean, like, for example, you could say, like, okay, well, the Jewish people came up with communism and these ideas and their feminism and waves. They could create anything they want. It's like saying white people created nuclear weapons and then everyone else starts using them. You can't blame the originators. It's like blaming a drug dealer. They have the drugs. You're the addict. Yeah, if you didn't exist, you wouldn't be addicted. But then again, you know, you're the one choosing to go to the addict. So I know the people who are behind these ideologies that have corrupted our people. But then again, our own people are corruptible. That's why they're corrupted. So if our people weren't corruptible, we would reject. If some rabbi said, you know what, start drinking gasoline, it's good for your health, I would say, what? You're crazy. You know? So that's why I no longer blame out groups anymore. Yes, they're doing things, no question. You know, but most importantly, our own people are the problem. I'm not hating our own people. We need to start standing up and showing our own people with unapologetic confidence. That's what we're lacking. You know, people are afraid to say this or that, stand up. And that's what we have to do. You guys are doing, and I'm doing, and everyone else is doing in our movement.
Well, Angelo, what I brought up about it was this. It's the distinction between the big honkies and the little honkies. These politicians that are selling us out depend upon all honkies, for lack of a better term, in order to be elected. But once elected, they totally ignore the interests of the little honkies. Like here in the South, little honkies want to preserve the Confederate heritage and Confederate statues and things like that. Well, right. Screw them. That's what they say. But on the other hand, they save all their political capital for the big honkies so they can deliver a $50 million parking garage for some big nabob who's doing a downtown development.
Well, what Angelo's saying is 100% true. I think the buck has to stop here. We have to take responsibility. It is true that the others have caused a lot of damage.
Played an indispensable role, but we played an indispensable role.
That's absolutely true, and we need to stand with courage, and we need to stand steadfastly for the truth. And thankfully, there are people who do that, and they are regularly featured on this show. Angelo John Gage is one of them. We've got him for one more segment. He'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
So a very special surprise guest tonight, unplanned, almost spontaneous, impromptu, Angelo John Gage. Find him at Twitter, at Angelo John Gage. Easy names to spell, and he spells them the way that you think that he would. And you can from there link over to his YouTube channel. And I tell you what, we've got to have you back on for a deeper dive, have you on for a full hour. When we started exchanging messages today, I was just thinking to myself, you know, this is a guy that should have been on already. And anyway.
Well, I can tell he's a soul brother of yours, James, because you both share the same hairdo.
Got
right?
A great haircut, that's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, anyway.
I'm always willing to do shows with people. And I tell people, listen, if one of your guests cancel, let me know. I'm always around for just, you know, anytime.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
appreciate it very much. Yeah, we'll do it again, and we'll do it on issues that are in your wheelhouse. I know one of your signature issues is the anti-war efforts and the anti-war movement. You don't have a lot of support there in the political hierarchy, and that was one thing I wanted to touch on. We can come at it from your angles.
Yeah.
One of our listeners in Oklahoma wrote to me this week, and he is forecasting the 2020. Presidential cycle, and he says as this vitriolic campaign heats up, Trump will further become the de facto white candidate. All hell is going to break loose during the campaign. I don't think this country will have seen anything like it since 1860. Now, if you look at some of the rhetoric coming out from some of the already announced Democratic primary contenders, you have Joe Biden, who is saying he's going to bring on this grotesque, militantly anti-white imbecile from the state of Georgia, Stacey Abrams. Then you have Pocahontas out there saying, you know, reparations for all blacks, Beto O'Rourke. Brother Nathaniel.
I'm white and I'm sorry about it.
Yeah, well, I'm white and I'm sorry about it. That's pretty much his campaign shtick. Brother Nathaniel called it, I think, quite accurately, the 2020 cycle is going to be a political freak show. So what are your thoughts on that, John, coming from your issues or any issue at all, the way that you could potentially foresee the next cycle shaping up? I think the rhetoric against whites has really intensified even since the 2016 campaign. And I think it's very likely that what's coming is going to be unprecedented, even by today's degenerate standards.
Yeah, I mean, the Democrats, they all they could do is be anti-white at this point. That's their strategy. They need those votes for the minorities, which are really powerful at this point in regards to voting. Even illegals and all these other people that are voting. To me, I mean, I'm not really into the politics as deep as you guys, but I understand the basics. Like, Beto is an idiot. I don't see him ever being anything. I mean, he's just weird. Harris and all the other people. Like there are two candidates who I do actually agree with some of the things. Like, for example, Tulsi Gabbard, who is a liberal, yeah. Of course, and I don't agree with her stuff, but she's anti-war, and that's huge. Even Yang, the new Asian guy, he has ideas about, you know, the future of the nation. It's going to affect our country. What about these things? They're interesting. You know, I could take them more seriously than the rest. In regards to Trump, I voted for Trump mainly not because of a wall or anything like that, because it can come and go a wall, but the anti-war stance that he proclaimed to have. And to me, I think Trump has been compromised or something, and he's totally neoconservative at this point. With all the stuff with Israel and the Golan Heights now, this is going to cause another war for sure. So me, on the Trump train, people say, Angel, you know, a lot of my friends who voted for Trump, so did I. Like, well, you know, jobs are better. And I'm like, yeah, but all that's going to, your taxes or all this stuff, it's not going to matter if there's another $1 trillion war. You know what I mean? So my main issue is anti-war. And, yeah, I want to make America great again, too. But we're making other countries great again, like Israel. And we're all...
Yeah, it's MIGA now. It's MIGA, not MAGA. MAGA, make America great again. Now it's make Israel great again.
Yeah, it is. And even Netanyahu bragged the other day when he got off the plane. He's like, you know, we have to really use this opportunity. We've never had a connection this close to a president in America. We need to use this as it serves us. He said that, literally said that. You can look it up, how he loves the fact Trump's like this. So, yeah, it's MAGA, no problem. That's what it is now. But in regards to the presidential candidates, yeah, I think Tulsi and Yang are the most – I don't know if Tulsi's popular, but Yang is growing really well. But everyone else is crazy. I mean, maybe Bernie might get somewhere. But Trump will probably win again. Probably. I mean, I don't know how he's going to – I don't know how he's going to campaign if the wall's not built, you know? He says, hey, vote for me and we'll finish the wall. I don't know what he's going to say. He hasn't really done much with his promises, you know. But he did something good the other day where he signed a free speech act or whatever it was in universities. He's done something like that. You know, yeah, he's brought back.
Well, he's got a fifth columnist in his own household with Jared Kushner and Ivanka. They are
they're
everything that Jared wants gets passed into law. Everything that his original supporters wanted, they've all been made to walk the plank.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the President Trump has fallen far from the promise of candidate Trump, and this election coming up may be so polarizing, he still looks good in the eyes of the people who previously supported him steadfastly. It may come down to a lesser.
The Democrats are so bad, with the exception of Yang and Tulsi Gabbard.
It could be so volatile that they just, you know, it's a lesser of two evils type of scenario once again, as we've always been presented before Trump.
What's new about that?
Train of thought and all, but in any event, it is going to be difficult for him with the demographic on. I mean, he's done nothing to stem the tide of the demographic replacement since he was elected into office, and in just those 2 or 3 years, that could very well be enough, especially by Election Day, November 2020, to flip states like Georgia or Florida, certainly.
Florida and Texas are the ones that have really suffered a change for the worse from the traditional Republican.
I mean, try being a Republican and winning without Florida, Texas, and Georgia. I mean, obviously, a Republican will never contend, you know, ever again. But you know, there is one thing with just a couple of minutes remaining, Angelo. You talk about your anti-war stance. Now, that's very interesting because we mentioned, of course, when we introduced you, that you have a background as a former U.S. Marine. So I would imagine that your experience there led you to your ultimate position here. I'm sure there's a story.
Of course, yeah. I was sent to Iraq twice, and I saw the death and destruction there, which ultimately came for no reason. That was the most heartbreaking thing in my life. People say, thank you for your service. I go, uh-huh, yeah, you know. It's just, what did I do there, you know? So I'm obligated to stand up now against these wars, because we got psychopaths in D.C. and across the planet that want wars for profits and money and all those other stuff. It's not like we're getting cheaper oil out of it. You know, if we were paying 50 cents a gallon, we go, well, at least we have cheap oil. We're not even, it was $4 a gallon a few years ago over here in New Jersey.
Well, you know, Angelo, on that, the situation is this. You know, if we're really fighting wars in the Middle East over oil, how come we've aligned ourselves with the only nation in the Middle East that doesn't have a drop of oil on?
Correct. correct. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's all about helping this country there to expand. We know that. Those of us who know that. But, you know, to get to the rest of the people to understand this, it's going to be difficult, but it can be done. And, again, I think, for example, you know, like AIPAC is being exposed. People know that they're powerful. They're passing these laws like resolutions and anti-Semitism. And it's just they're just overplaying their card, honestly, these types. And that's what they always do anyway. So I'm not concerned as much. I just think we should focus on not getting into more wars and waking our people up from being cucks. That's really it. It's unapologetically white and proud of yourself or whatever the case. And support your people, of course, and make allies with other people, too, of course. Don't just say, oh, I'm white and that's it. But my main thing is anti-war because that costs the most money and the most lives. Not just our people, but all the people across the world, which then foments hatred against our country, which then puts us in more further national security risk. You know, if you're American traveling abroad, you might get abducted and killed because Americans are evil, you know, so... There's a lot of damage that comes from these wars, and these wars have been going on for a century, these fake wars for special interests from World War One, World War Two, and all the other ones. It's all for special interests. You know, we gain nothing. In fact, Europe is destroyed now. The British lost their entire empire after World War Two. It's crazy, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, you know, we say that a lot, at one point in history, the sun never set on the British Empire. Now they don't even control the streets of London. Well, Angelo, listen, I appreciate you coming on such short notice and giving us two solid segments. Let's have you back on and talk specifically about the anti-war movement in the not-too-distant future. Thanks again. We really enjoyed it.
Absolutely, James. Thank you very much.
You got it. At Angelo John Gage on Twitter. We'll be back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is continuing to emphasize the immigration issue on Twitter. He cut off aid to three Central American countries and is calling on Mexico to stop the influx of immigrants coming into the U.S. He made the repeated threats this week to shut down the U.S. border with Mexico.
We'll keep it closed for a long time. I'm not playing games. Mexico has to stop it.
There's a very good likelihood that I'll be closing the border next week, and that'll be just fine with me.
A closure of the southern border could affect legal ports of entry where more than $550 billion of goods are traded between Mexico and the U.S. each year. Political scientist Mark Jones says this could make the problem worse.
If they could do more to essentially align themselves with the United States on this policy, they would. They simply don't have the resources and don't have the capacity to do so.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. Because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control of your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Actress, activist, and United Nations Special Envoy Angelina Jolie has delivered the keynote speech for a UN gathering to address UN peacekeeping and civilian protection. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Jolie, who co-founded the Preventing Sexual Violence and Conflict, says every country that prides itself on human rights and liberty should engage beyond its borders.
A country that believes that all men and women are born free and equal cannot be true to itself if it doesn't defend those principles for all people.
Weather forecasters are predicting a nor'easter early next week. They say there might even be some spring snow in some places. Meteorologist Richard Ban says there also could be some flooding.
If the storm takes a western track, places like New Jersey where it's been wet and they've had a lot of snow melt to worry about, yeah, there could be some flooding. If the storm takes a little track further to the east, Probably not.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Shut up, woman. Come here. Lock that door. Throw me that key over here. You and me, we gonna talk. We gonna understand each other. Yeah. Ain't me. Shut up. Don't you say a word.
All right.
Cause you might get me all excited. Right.
Hey, that's good advice there. The Bo Diddley classic. That is Jack Ryan's intro tonight. He wants to let a young man know how to survive big city college miseducated women. Now, Jack knows a little something about...
Sounds like a good way to go to jail if you talk to him.
Chicago, there in Chicago. So we've got Confederate History Month series coming up. So that's going to be dominating a lot of time. We wanted to give Jack a little extended play tonight. And then we got a new template, a new schedule in April. And then we'll get back to the regular schedule in May. But all right, Jack, take it away. What do you got? What's on your mind? What's the song about?
Well, that was my recommendation, Bo Diddley, Shut Up, Woman. Okay, so it's a bit of an earthy, like, straight to the one, but I like the R&B soul blues and stuff. But he's very honest about this one that Bo Diddley says. He's like, if there's a woman, you tell him, just like, shut up, woman. So I've been 2/3 of my life in rough, big city places, Chicago, New York City, New Haven, Connecticut, Yale, rough places. And there are these rough places, and we've got, like, crime and brutal murders and 3,000 shootings and murders. And you think, like, the worst thing for these gangsters and stuff, but these big places, is the problem is these women. And the best, you know, and the problem is these women that are causing this trouble. And so I think Bo Diddley, he's very honest about it, but he's very clear about it. And he tells them, shut up, woman. Just shut up and stop this nonsense of this feminist communist stuff and things like. So that's my recommendation tonight, is Bo Diddley, Shut Up, Woman. So that's my recommendation tonight.
Now, Jack, do you know where Bo Diddley was from?
No, I don't know where he's from.
Macomb, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, I know Macomb. That's right there on the Louisiana border almost. Spot.
Yeah, good spot. Good folks come up there, decent people, like not rich, you know, like there. Yeah. So good Mississippi people who come to Chicago, who've got good morals, they're good people. And so I think that's very good. But it's a great song.
I don't know.
I think it's very good. I think Shut Up, Woman is a very good song. And I think it's something I'll recommend to our audience tonight. But it's a bad woman. It's a tell bad woman to tell them to shut up. So that's...
Well, I tell you, this is the truth. We need to certainly not take seriously these manifestations of the disease of political correctness. And of course, feminism is but one of those manifestations. Now, it is true, radical feminism. I love the Francis Parker Yockey. Forgive me, folks, I have to say this every time we come up on the topic of feminism, but surely there's never been a quote about feminism that was ever put forth more succinctly or more truthfully than when Francis Parker Yockey said that feminism robs women of the natural dignity of their sex and turns them into inferior men. Now, that is a power quote. But it is true that good people come from Macomb, Mississippi. I don't know if Bo Diddley is one of them. I don't know that much. I don't know that much about him.
Well, Eric Burdon liked him with the Animals from Newcastle, England. I remember his song about the story of Bo Diddley. Look that up on your YouTube if you wish.
But in any event, it is true that sometimes just you hear this claptrap, you hear this poison, shut up. I don't want to hear it. And sometimes, you know, all women do want to be put in their place. I mean, that deep down inside they do. And, you know, that's another problem that white men have had.
All natural women.
Well, Yeah, but I mean, at some level, I mean, they were all natural once, I guess. I mean, they didn't come out that way.
Well, they have some very unnatural ones, very deformed people.
But I don't know if they were born that way, is what I'm saying. I mean, you know, they bought into this poison, but
it's poison.
But I don't think
it's Satan, Lucifer, the devil. I don't think he likes feminism either. I just feel like he created this stuff as some kind of thing to upright and clean it. But I don't think he wants to hang out with these feminist women that are dressing up like vaginas going on the Washington Mall and stuff like that.
Hey, I got to tell you. Hey, we were there, Jack.
Like, no, I don't like that.
We were there, and we saw them. So that was they had that you know what you just mentioned, that particular rally in Washington.
Right.
It was the weekend of the inauguration. So Sam Bushman and I were at this hotel outside of D.C. And at that hotel, a lot of these people that were attending that rally were staying. And we saw them in the hotel with the hats on. And let me tell you, you would never confuse them for a natural woman. They looked like anything but women. They didn't even really look human.
No, they didn't. They're dressing up with like vaginas. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know this is a thing, but we've got a vagina problem because these people are dressing up with vaginas. They're not using a vagina. Okay, there's nothing good going in, and there's nothing good coming out. There's no like that. Okay, so that's we've got a vagina problem. We've got it. I don't know if it's Satan or whatever it is, but we've got to prove the situation that we've got. So that's the issue right there.
Yeah, amen.
Well, Jack, have you run into any of these in Chicago in recent weeks, months?
Years.
Do I run into these like vagina directing feminist stuff like all the freaking time? Do I run into these traditional women that are like good? Like my mom. My mom was from a small town in Michigan, and she was great. And she came to Chicago, and she was here for like about a week and a half before my father proposed to her because she was great. She was sexy, but not in a sloppy or something. Like she was traditional. Ladies, that you listen to everyone, you cannot get a man, a husband with your brain, whatever it is. You have to get in. And my mom was great, and I'm here today because of my mom, and that's what we do. We want our listeners to come, and we want traditional family like things. We want our women to. We want men and women to get together in a positive way, and so that's what we're trying to do. But it's a rough world out there, and so we're trying to do the best that we can. But it's a rough world out there, so that's what we're trying to do, and we're trying to survive in this terrible like places. And I can give advice to my people that are there. I've been in the roughest places in Chicago, New York City, Boston, New Haven, Connecticut. I've been in the roughest places, so I want to give advice to our people to survive, and we can survive, and we can try to make it, but. You know, it's not like they're there. Like, and it's not these killers, these gangster stuff. The worst problems in big cities are the women, the bad women, the Hillary Rodham Clinton, these feminist, communist women, these women. So that's what I'm saying to our listeners tonight.
Well, I think always we have to tell the truth in love, and we need to be firm and inflexible in our you know, advocacy of the truth. I think when you come in to someone, one of our white brothers or sisters who's afflicted with this disease of political correctness, the disease of feminism, this disease of white guilt, whatever the manifestation may be. I mean, we certainly need to be firm in our position. But I don't think being mean-spirited necessarily helps win them over. No. But at the same time, even that would be superior to humoring them and treating their issues as if
knuckling
it's
under
serious.
Too.
Well, certainly knuckling under would be the worst. But to treat them as if their positions have any legitimacy is a disservice to yourself and to them as well. Because we do want to save these people. We want these people to come back to the good side.
I agree.
Maybe the best thing to do with them is what Bill Clinton did to Hillary, which is ignore for 40 years.
No, it's good. But I just definitely think that tonight, Bo Diddley's position singing is like, shut up, woman. I think it's a good one. I think it's a good song. I think that our people should have it. It's there. It's like being a good person, but this crappy feminist, communist stuff, this Andy puts, like, I just stayed Bo Diddley just tell her, like, shut up, woman, just shut up. I think it's a great song. And that's why I gave it tonight. That's why I permitted this music tonight. Bojan.
Well, you know, actually,
in the right position to take with women is what Howling Wolf took. He had a song called Howling for My Baby, and he said, "Hot as a chili pepper, sweet as cherry pie. She sure makes me know that I'm too young to die." Right?
No, it's good. You know, I think these lower-class black American guys, they're more honest about what's right and what's wrong, but we're dealing with tremendous evil or tremendous Satan and communists, like all the kinds of stuff. So we have
I'll tell you.
Strict, yeah, we have to do what's right. And but that's why I promoted this song tonight, Bo Diddley, Shut Up, Woman. I think it's a great song. I think everyone should like it.
I think you're right. There is a lot of evil. There is a lot of satanic influence over our people in this world today as we've turned from God. The results have been predictable, but there is a lot of mental illness amongst white people, too, and I mean a lot. We got to take a break. We will be back one more segment with Jack, and I got to tell you a story about Jack when we get back. I think you'll like it.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, very quickly before we go back to Jack, I just want to remind you, I have to, our first quarter fundraising drive ends tomorrow. Now, if you have not yet contributed, please do. Every little bit helps. It surely does. $100 or more, you're going to get Pat Buchanan's book, Day of Reckoning, and a beautiful Confederate flag, not just any Confederate flag, the Nathan Bedford Forrest Escort flag from our friends at Dixie Republic. We've got them all here in stock. ready to ship out. If you've already donated this month, they're already coming to you. If not, you've still got till tomorrow at midnight. I want to read just a couple of more letters that have come in. We've shared a very heartfelt letter in the second hour from a listener. Dear James and Keith, this comes from a listener in Salt Lake City, Utah. When the mainstream media paints you and all of us white people as evil, I would like to say to them, try doing that to another country, what is being done to us. Try forcing China to become multicultural and multiracial. Try demographically replacing them by mass immigration, calling their culture, language, history, and heritage evil. Every time they defended these things, call them Chinese supremacists and see what would happen. Good point from Jeff in Salt Lake City. This was short and sweet. This comes from a listener in Essington, Pennsylvania. James and Keith, keep up the great work. I'm so proud of you. Well, listen, we're proud of you and all of our listeners, my friend. That's the truth. I don't remember if I shared this with you last week, folks. If I did, I'll read it again. Comes from a listener in Issaquah, Washington State, the state of Washington. Your show means a lot to me. I listen to you every week. We're here every week for you and for the listeners in these following cities that have donated just over the course of the last couple of days. We always like to do these roll calls. Listeners sharing their love and support from Marietta, Georgia, Blackwell, Missouri, Sherwood, Arkansas, Rison, Arkansas, Beecher, Illinois. I guess that's one of Jack's neighbors. Salt Lake City, we just mentioned, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, Granite City, Illinois. Jack's really bringing in the Illinois crew tonight.
Everything except Chicago.
Yeah. Greer, South Carolina, Collierville, Tennessee, Hazard, Kentucky, Van Wheeler, Texas, North Palm Beach, Florida, Troutdale, Virginia, Montero, Illinois, Essington, Pennsylvania, we just mentioned, and Victoria, Australia. So thank you, thank you, thank you from across the country and around the world. Listen, we were talking about women. Obviously, we do love and respect and appreciate our women, but we want them to behave like women, and they need, you know, women
and
need
and
leadership.
And our women do.
Women need leadership. Women need men who are strong and chivalrous. I'm going to share a story with you next week when we kick off Confederate History Month about the chivalry of Nathan Bedford Forrest. So stay tuned for that. That series is coming up. Now, back to Jack. I got to tell you a story. It was about at this exact time last night, at this exact minute, that Jack texted me and said, well, I guess I'm not on the show tonight. And I said, huh? He goes, you never did call me. I said, Jack, it's Friday. Now, this is a guy, Keith. This is a guy. I want that kind of zeal because that's a guy who so looks forward to his segment each week. He gets excited a day early. I mean, do you ever get that excited a day early, Keith?
Look, I know that I know that I've tried to get in touch with you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Well, he texted me. You know, that's the secret weapon. But in any event, Jack, we always appreciate your contributions, and we're happy that you're looking forward to the show so much each week, as much as we look forward to having you. But let's get to – did you have any movie recommendations? I actually stole your thunder a little bit, Jack. Earlier, I made a couple of movie recommendations myself. I said I went to the theater today. We went to the 12 o'clock matinee show of the re-release of Dumbo. Very good movie, I thought. And I also mentioned the movie Saving Mr. Banks, which my family watched on Netflix this week. Those would be two recommendations I could give if I should step on Jack's toes. You got any other recommendations or anything else you want to talk about, Jack? The segment's all yours.
My recommendation, I didn't see the new remake of Dumbo, but I highly recommend all the cartoons of Walt Disney, the original Dumbo, back when Walt Disney was Walt Disney, before Michael Eisner took over our ones. I hope it's okay. But so my recommendations for movies tonight are On the Waterfront, starring Marlon Brando, directed by Alia Kazan. And my book recommendation is Man-Child in the Promised Land by Claude Braun. It's there. But so see, I highly recommend all the movies by Alia Kazan, and he is a brilliant person. And the movie On the Waterfront is a great, great movie. You should have it on your personal collection. So that's my recommendation tonight. I go a whole year without watching a Hollywood movie. So, you know, if there's a good movie, tell me it's okay, and I'll see it maybe okay. But my recommendation tonight is On the Waterfront, starring Marlon Brando and directed by Alia Kazan. So that's my recommendation.
And co-starring Eva Marie Saint. She was great in it. And she's the way a woman ought to be.
Fantastic.
And remember the famous line, Jack? Remember the famous line that he makes to his brother, Rod Steiger? He says, I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a tough one on the waterfront in New Jersey, Ross, in New York City. So that's where I am. I'm in tough brutal Chicago places were there. And so that's kind of life I'm living. I hope there's a good movie that will make me play my story. But that's the place I am. I'm not in some goody-two-shoes Lake Wobegon in Minnesota. I'm not some place. I'm there with criminals, gangsters, criminals, and all these things. And so if I, like, make it, or if I get killed next year, I hope someone makes a nice movie about me, like On the Waterfront by Elia Kazan. So that's my...
Well, you know, that On the Waterfront was based on stevedoring. Now, they don't have stevedores now, at least not like they used to, because of this intermodal cartaging stuff where everything is prepackaged and gets, you know, they don't have to unload the holds of ships the way they used to. Now, what is there still a stevedores union in New York or Chicago?
I don't think in New Jersey, but there are these waterfront bears, and it's very Elia Kazan. It's very much that he was involved in socialist things, working people. He was involved in pseudo-communist things, and he was reverse.
Well, that's what all of Hollywood was involved in. That's why they had the HUAC, yeah. House Un-American Activities Committee, and the
Elia Kazan fact that he testified against the communists, and he was reverse McCarthyism, and so he was like there. But all of Elia Kazan's movies are fantastic; they're great, and I recommend all of our listeners here to get all of our all the Elia Kazan movies. And On the Waterfront is one of the very, very best. Marlon Brando's there, so that I think Leonard Bernstein did the music of that. So put that in your personal library of the films that you have. So On the Waterfront is one of the greatest movies that you've got, and so that's one I recommend to me.
I'm going to shoot one back at you, Jack. I've got a recommendation for you. The good Southerner Robert Mitchum in the best film noir detective of private detective show that I've ever seen, Out of the Past with Jane Greer. Check that one out sometime. He is so much better than Humphrey Bogart as a private eye that there's no comparison in my mind.
I tell you what we've got to make happen here is we got to get you and Jack together. Jack, Keith lives in this, I call it like a medieval keep is what it looks like. And it's a beautiful house. And he has a video library that a man like you could appreciate. Every movie that has ever come out on VHS tape, he's got. And he's still, VCRs are still his preferred method of viewing a picture. And I don't think Keith allows in his house any movie that was made, what, past 60? 70?
Well, I tell you what, Disney died in 66, and a lot of good movies died with it. There are a few since then, but basically movies from the 40s, 50s, and early 60s.
You and Jack could be the new Siskel and Ebert. I mean, you guys could just come down and jam on movies and then get on the show and do it.
We could do it. We could have our own show doing that.
We should be that. Yeah, we should. I agree.
Well, Jack, what are you up to the rest of the week? I got a couple of minutes here.
Do you have any books?
Well, okay, the book recommendation that I have is
Good one, Keith.
Brown, Man Child in the Promised Land. It's a very, it's like Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer, this black American boy that moved to New York City, Harlem, in the 40s and 50s. It's an incredible book. It's about his regular one, and he got into it's a much more corrupt place, but this book is a tremendous one. It's a good book, Man Child in the Promised Land by Clyde Brown. I highly recommend it. But tonight I'm out in a little bit in the sticks outside of Chicago, Crystal Lake, McHenry County, and I'm worried that I'm going to be naked home. Tonight it's cold. It's freaking cold. There's no global warming in Chicago. It's like 36 degrees. So, like, am I going to miss?
Not on Lake Michigan.
Oh, man. Global warming, climate change. So I'm, like, worried about that stuff.
Well, I'll tell you.
A Hulk.
You got to be careful there at Crystal Lake. You know, talking about movies, that's where that iconic film series Friday the 13th was. You know, Crystal Lake is where Jason Voorhees does all of his damage. So
I don't know what that was.
Friday the 13th. Well, you probably, if you missed that one, you didn't miss much. That's what it is.
Freaking cold. Yeah.
The Hulk. Remember they had the Hulk? You know, the wind coming off of Lake Michigan? There's nothing colder.
Fuck.
Well, I tell you, there is a reason, though. I mean, there are the arts. I said this before. The arts do reach our people in a different way than the spoken word or even the written word. I know you recommend books, but there's something about music and movies that, when done right, when we take the best of what Hollywood can offer and apply it towards our people, there's something there that can reach our people in a very big and real mass way. Anyway, Jack, thank you. We'll see you next week. And, folks, next week we will kick off our Confederate History Month series 2019. Jack, get warm. Stay safe. Talk to you soon, brother.
Hey,
you got it.
God bless you. Thanks.
You too. Good night, everybody.